Welcome to the Moving Past You radio show, a show about identifying, confronting, and embracing the obstacles that block and delay us in walking in our divine purpose. Each week, we delve into the complexities and rewards of walking in your purpose. Now, here's your host, Juanita Gaynor.
Hello, hello, everyone. Hello. Okay, I don't want to hear that then. It's a double thing. How is everyone doing? Oh my gosh. It is Friday. It's 7 p.m. and we are here. And if you know, it is also my birthday month. You know, I celebrate the whole month. You know, this year I'm doing a little bit different, but I'm still celebrating the whole month. So I'm going to tell you one thing. I am excited about tonight's guest. Not only is she a phenomenal woman of strength, and she has so many things that is coming out, she is also a birthday twin. Yes, we are the same birthday. So she is awesomely amazing, just like I'm awesomely amazing as well. And so many have asked, well, what are you doing for your birthday this year, Juanita? And yes, this will be 49, but it's something that I started a couple of years ago. And what would happen would be is like, I had decided on my birthday that I would donate a certain amount of funds to help families, you know, whether it be whatever they wanted to do. One year I did it where I adopted families and I gave them baskets for Christmas. I mean, for Thanksgiving. So they had everything they needed to create a dinner and then snacks and whatever the family needed. And then the next year, what I did was, is I challenged some friends and colleagues to raise some additional funds so that I can help a few more families. And instead of it just being for Thanksgiving, we decided just to be for the holiday so they could then decide what they wanted to do with those funds. And what I mean by that was, it's like whatever they wanted to do, whether they wanted to go out to a movie, like the things that me and you take for granted that we can just up and do. Sometimes families whose income is just, you know, lower and they're just really just barely making it, you know, it's boom. They can't do those small little things that they used to do, like going out to the movies or just maybe buying an extra cake or something that they could do. So that's what I started doing. So this year, let me put it up. So this year, we are doing the 2020 holiday fundraiser. If you can go here, it's through my nonprofit, Restore to Life. You can see the link on the screen, or you can use the QR code. The website is link.restoredtolife2andlife.org /2023holiday. And this is what I'm doing this year. I'm looking to raise $7,500. Now, let me help you understand something. That is what I'm doing automatically. Whether if you don't donate or whatever, I'm not sitting here saying donate, whatever. Whatever you don't do or whatever, that's okay. I understand that for some people, it's hard out there. But I've been grateful and I have been blessed for means above and beyond. So if you can help, that will be awesome and amazing. If you can, I understand that. That is perfectly okay. But this is what I'm doing for what I've done every year for my birthday. You know, so normally what I will do is on my birthday is the families that so far that I've chosen will go ahead and, you know, send it to them. Whether I usually do a MasterCard or a Visa card, because then they can spend it however they need to. There is no restriction on it. Go buy groceries, go buy whatever, because groceries are high. I just went grocery shopping. It's high. What I used to pay for is not paying for the same amount of groceries, and I'm paying the same amount of money. So, you know, if you can find it in your heart, or if you don't donate to me, find someone that you can pour into. Find someone that you can pour into. But on to that, let's get to today's guest. We are going to bring on Miss Nicole Heiser. And we're going to talk about the generational curse ends with me. I want that to sink in and think about how powerful that statement is. I want you to embrace how powerful that statement is. And while you're doing that, I'm going to go ahead and just talk about our lovely guest. Nicole is a published author, mother, and entrepreneur. She's overseeing six businesses. There's something about us Sagittarius besties, you know. We have multiple businesses that we are striving and we're working to help others promote. So, you know, cheers, kudos, support. She has last embarked on her latest endeavor as a motivational and personal development speaker, specializing in empowering women to overcome the challenges and elevate their lives. Nicole shares her personal journey and imparts practical techniques she's developed or discovered. Through her experiences, she strives to support other women, firmly believing that success in all facets of life is obtainable. When individuals address, I'm going to say this again, when individuals address their past while actively pursuing the future. I'm going to say that again because sometimes I don't think we hear that. All facets of life is obtainable when individuals address their past while actively pursuing their future. So I am going to bring on Miss Nicole. I'm going to see her. Give me a second. Let me bring her on. Hey.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing so well. As I was saying earlier, I'm excited about this. I'm excited about talking about the generational curse ends with me.
I am too.
It's powerful. Like, I think sometimes we talk about it, but we don't really make a declarative statement. And so before we deep dive into that, tell us a little about you. Tell us what kind of prompted you to say, you know what, it's time for me to go through this process so that not only I can heal myself, but I can now be a help to others.
Well, when I was 6 years old, that's when I first entered survival mode. And I threw away all my toys and I said that I couldn't be a kid anymore because I had to protect my little sister, keep her from getting hurt while the bad things were happening and distract her so she didn't know what was going on. And it was when I was a teenager that I realized I needed to be that person that I didn't have. There are so many people out there that are going through similar experiences that I have went through. And I person that come and give me a hug and pick me up and say, you're safe now. You're okay. No one's going to hurt you. That you're enough no matter what they say. You're enough. But I can be that person for somebody else. And throughout my own healing journey, I've realized that so many of these traumas I've been through has programmed me in so many ways that if I don't end the cycle now, this is a fight my daughter will have to fight later.
Ooh.
So I decide the cycle ends with me.
That is amazing. And I think that's what a lot of us maybe don't think about is many of us have had such, these traumas have happened at such a young age that literally our childhood was just taken. We became the protectors, especially if we were a middle child or older child and was a younger sibling beneath us. We did everything we could to make sure that they didn't see the horrors in which we had to, you know, deal with. So I'm going to ask this as a big sister who's done the same thing. In your healing journey, how much of it does your sister know?
Very, very little. I did my best to shelter her from everything growing up. And in some ways, that's great. And in other ways, she's sort of naive to different things. And she doesn't understand where I come from in certain aspects. So she doesn't really know about a lot of it. And she was so little, she didn't understand.
Right.
And So we don't really talk about it.
And you know what? I'm gonna be honest. Like, I remember I didn't realize how much my little brother remembered or came to recall. I hid a lot. But when I did my first anthology and I was going to start talking about what had happened, I, you know, really had a conversation with him. And I was amazed that the scenarios, he didn't understand the underlying scenarios, but he remembered them. He didn't understand what was going on, but he remembered them. And it was just like, when this comes out, when this book really comes out, when I really start talking about it, I'm like, I worried. I'm like, and I'm still worried. Like, how is it going to happen? And sometimes, you know, it can hinder us and stop us from moving forward because we're still trying to protect other people. And so I want you to talk about maybe how has that maybe delayed some aspects of your growth and putting everything out there and really walking into this healing purpose that you're supposed to be walking in.
Yeah. Well, I actually wrote this book 2 years ago. I finished writing it 2 years ago. And I wrote it so that I could start healing. And then I wanted to publish it so that other people could read my story and see the similar experiences and know that they can get through them too, and they can end the cycle too. And that we don't have to abide by the statistics. We can crush them. But then those voices showed up, and I was afraid of what extended family members and people from my past may think and say, and I put it on hold. But the truth is still the truth, no matter how hard it hurts.
Yeah.
And this story, my story, is bigger than me. It's going to be out there for everyone, because there's somebody out there that feels alone tonight, that feels like no one else understands, and I do. And if they read my story, maybe they can change someone else's life too. Maybe they can be the difference for someone. And they can have a better life too, if they just see that example of what is possible.
Mm. Yes. And, you know, and that is so true. Like, we sometimes, I was told something. It was like, it surprises me the people that are watching you behind the scenes to see how you come out of some things. And, I remember a good friend told me one time, she said, "You're selfish." And I'm like, "Why am I selfish?" She was like, "Because somebody needs to hear how you got through something. They need to see what that looked like. Like, they see the good of us. Like, they see us successful. They see us with the businesses. They see us, you know, moving forward, but they don't understand the grimy, the work that really had to come into that." And so when you're saying, when you say that the generational curse ends with me, you've made a powerful declarative statement that says that, you know, I'm not carrying this on to my children so that they cannot carry it on to their children. No. Go a little bit into why that statement was made and why it's important, not only for you, but for others to make that declarative statement so that they can move forward in their healing process.
Well, it really started with 3-4 years ago. I was in a really bad place. I was having 4 or 5 panic attacks a day that lasted for hours on end, and they were every day. When they last that long and they're every single day, there is no recovery process. So then eventually your body shuts down and you go into a depression spell. And I would be in a depression spell for 3 months at a time. I got so bad that I knew I had to do something now and fast, or I would be in the hospital. And I have a daughter that needs me. And I had to decide that I had to cut people out of my life that no longer deserve a part of my life, but a place in my life because of how they treated me, even after so many times that we had that discussion and they didn't care enough to try. And I had to realize that when you set those healthy boundaries and people continue to break them, even when you have that discussion, that's them showing you that they no longer want or deserve a place in your life. And you can't bring in the good people in your life if that flaw is still with somebody that shouldn't be there. And I started seeing how certain people in my life was not only affecting me, but I have a very impressionable daughter. My daughter also has special needs, so she may or not comprehend something. And I do not want her seeing how someone else treats me as acceptable behavior. And I don't want her growing up thinking that it's okay for someone to treat her like that or for her to treat someone else like that. Yeah. I always said, once I became a mom, I was never going to let my kids have the same experience as I did growing up. And I knew then that I had to step away and cut ties with certain people, or my daughter was going to get the wrong impression. And at that point, it wasn't about how they were treating me. It was about the example I was setting. Mm-hmm. Because I was showing her that that was acceptable behavior when it wasn't. So I had to shut it down and decide, no, this is what I need to show my daughter. And if we think about that, it becomes a lot clearer to what we actually need to do. Doesn't make it any less painful. But it does make things a lot clearer when you think of the example you're setting for your kids.
See, that's amazing because, and I think that is another thing. Like, I know I don't have any kids biologically, and that was by choice. Like, my trauma was crazy, and I made a decision that that wasn't something that I wanted to do because where I was at, even at the time of child, really, you know, having children, I was still mentally gone. And it was just like, I'm not going to do that to a child. I was like, because I'll be trying to protect them. And then I'm going to put them in the same chair that I'm sitting in trying to work through my own trauma. But with nieces and nephews and, you know, godchildren, my godson was a reason I decided, like, okay, it's time to cut something off. Because you're right, children are helpless. And we've decided, even in our trauma, that if we have the opportunity to protect someone else from going through this kind of craziness, we're going to do everything that we can to do that. And I think for yourself and myself, also being our sign is a sign of we are for the protectors of, you know, everyone that is in our circle. You know, we love hard, we fight hard, and we want to make sure everyone is good. So we sometimes protect others and don't protect ourselves, but deciding that boundaries are necessary, because I feel that healthy, strong, consistent boundaries are the perfect way to end generational curses, you know?
Yeah. And be selfish.
Yes. You're right. You have to be selfish.
Yeah. You have to be selfish with your time and your own energy. Our parents' generation taught us that that was a horrible thing. Don't ever be selfish. But I think it's one of the most healthiest things we can do for ourselves.
Yeah. Because see, they was taught, and you think about, they was taught to not be selfish. And it wasn't, you know, they saw their parents or their aunts and their grandmothers and their great grandmothers, you know, they didn't have the autonomy that, you know, we have now. You know, even when I think back to even my own mother, her being abused at a young age, you know, if no one heals them, it's what they do continually. And they've been told that it is okay. It's okay to be toxic. You should just take it. And we're saying no. We're saying that it's not the case. That's not what we're doing. at all. And so, how have you navigated the family aspect of it? Because I know it's hard with family, especially when you have a daughter, you know, because you do want them to know the family, but then again, then you don't want to expose them to the toxicity of it all. How have you managed, even with your boundaries, because sometimes people will still try to overcross them, how have you maintained your emotions and mental state and dealing with them? Because they're coming for you. They're calling, they're probably whatever. How have you made your peace with that? And how and what can you tell others to do in navigating and, you know, deciding what they need to decide to set the boundaries, whether it's some stricter boundaries, cutting them out, you know, completely going no contact, whatever that would be?
Well, I'll say first, I cut my mother and her side of the family completely out of my life when I was 19. And I had to do that because of what she did and what she allowed. And I took my sister in my custody and protected her and gave her a chance at a better life that way. I have received a lot of hate for that over the years, saying, oh, she's your mother, you should know. I will be the first person to tell you, it doesn't matter who they are or what title they may have in your life, if they are not healthy or safe for you, cut them out.
That's right.
It doesn't matter.
That's right.
I have other family members where I have had to put very limited time frames with them and have to put very strict boundaries down. They still cross them sometimes, and I have to continually remind them. And I had to make some rules. They don't like them, but they do have to respect them. If they don't respect them and they don't abide by those specific rules, they can't be in our lives, because that's the only way our trust and our safety can be guaranteed. And sometimes you just have to not be the nice person. I was the nice person my entire life. I was the quiet one my entire life. But sometimes you just got to be straightforward and say, no, this is what I need. And if you do these things that you can continue doing, they just continue to hurt me. And I can't stay around you and let that continue happening, because it's not right for me. And hurt, it was a really big decision because I have my daughter, because I already have cut more than half of my family out of my life even before I had my daughter. So she knows very limited family members as it is.
Right.
And I didn't want to cut even more of them out of her life, but I had to think about what was best for me and for her, because I don't want her growing up feeling belittled or degraded or thinking that it's okay or acceptable behavior to be treated like a doormat or to let people hurt you continually when they know you're not comfortable. The only way she is going to have a healthy relationship with friends or an intimate relationship in the future is if I show her that example now. I have never had an example of a healthy relationship, but I'm trying.
Right. And so I commend you for acknowledging that you need to do that, because sometimes we do not do that. We just, you know, okay, we got to make it happen, whatever. And what you're doing is that you're setting up a legacy of hope and light for your daughter. And when you think of that legacy, and I'm calling it a legacy because just your actions, when you think of that for your daughter and for others, because that what you're doing is, of course, you're helping others that are watching you from a distance. What piece of hope can you give them? They're looking at your story. They're seeing, you know, okay, I think I can get through it. but it just seems so hard. And it looks, oh, well, look, she's already, you know, at the top of her game. What can you give them to say, I may be at the top right now, but, you know, it could tomorrow I can just not really bother with y'all. But I'm still going to push through. Like, what can you say to those who just, they see it, but they can't see it when it comes to, you know, getting to that next level in their healing?
My life is pretty good, but I'm still climbing. I'm climbing constantly so that I don't fall into that pit. I've spent several nights, months, years, crying myself to sleep at night, feeling stuck, doing everything I know I need to do in order to make my businesses successful, and I'm still hitting a wall and nothing's happening. But I know that I can make a difference and that I can be successful. And the biggest turn point for me was saying, okay, I'm not going to feel like this anymore. I might still be in the same position tomorrow, but I refuse to feel like I'm stuck. I refuse to feel like I'm never going to be successful or I'm a failure. I refuse to let myself feel like that anymore because I'm tired of living a miserable life. Ooh. Once I changed that, and I literally one night I was crying and weeping and almost cried myself to sleep as I had many, many nights before that. And I decided, you know what? No, I'm not doing it anymore.
Right.
Just that change of mindset of it may still be crappy tomorrow. All these things may still be in the same position tomorrow, and I may still be in the same situation. But I'm not going to allow myself to feel like I'm stuck or that I am going to be in the same position for the rest of my life. I'm going to keep planning. I'm going to keep going. I have felt like giving up so many times. I'm a single mom. I've been a single mom since day one. My daughter was diagnosed when she was two. We moved into our own place when she was two, when she first learned how to walk and get into everything. And I did it all on my own. Right. And there was many times I was on my knees on the floor crying, saying, I want to give up. I shouldn't have to do this by myself. But I couldn't give up. Because she didn't have anyone else there. I had to be that person for her. And I brought her into this world so I couldn't give up on her. Because she wasn't giving up. She was still trying and learning every day.
Right.
All of these years, every time I felt like giving up, there was still that little piece inside. I call it my dying ember. Mm-hmm. My dying ember inside. Everything else was cold and dark. But there was just that one piece that was still lit that feels like I can't give up completely. I might say I do, but I can't because I still feel it. I found out that that was hope.
Yeah.
It took me a long time to realize that I've been still holding on to that hope all these years. There's a reason for that. Yeah. I've still had this thought of all of these passions of mine that I want to do and I want to build a community and help people. I want to help women that have been in the same position as me. There's a reason I still am passionate about this and I'm still thinking about it every day because I went through all of that crap so I can be there to hold them up. So I can help them pull themselves up out of that well into successful and limitless lives because I need to be that example for them that if I can do it, there's no reason why they can't either.
Exactly. Exactly. See, that's wonderful. And understanding what those boundaries are, because again, we give up every single day. We're saying we're quitting every single day or every other day. I'm going to be honest about me because every day I'll be like, I ain't doing this no more. I'm going to go back to whatever. And I may say it, but I'm not giving up. And so for those who may be listening, you know, watching live or listening or will listen on the replay, I want you to understand that as a part of the process. I think society has promoted a microwave atmosphere for so long. And what people don't understand is that healing is a process, because where you were at, the trauma didn't happen overnight. The act of the trauma happened instantly, but the compound trauma and the dealing with it and whatever didn't happen overnight. So it took years to build up, and it's going to take some time to just dissipate. There's going to be certain aspects that are a little bit quicker, and then there's other aspects that is going to be a lifelong, you know, journey that, you know, and for some people, I feel, this is just my opinion, and you can tell me how you feel as well. I feel that there's certain things of our healing process, we may work through those until we leave, because we have been purposed and we have been marked and called to be an example and a light to those that are going through. So our life's journey of how we moved through trauma and how we dealt with it and how we built, you know, businesses and, you know, other purposes and, you know, coaching and, you know, courses and classes and books and all of those things, that is going to be a legacy that others is going to see and was like, I see their lives. And they left the blueprint of how to begin. I'm going to stress that. We lay out blueprints to begin the process because everyone's journey is different.
Mm-hmm.
How do you speak to others when they look at you and it's like, I'm so, you know, enamored. I'm so proud. I'm so in awe of you. Tell me how you did it so I can do it too. Like, it's great they ask those questions, but how do you get them to understand that, well, while I may have done this, this may not work for you in your particular thing? Like, how do you navigate that particular action where you still keep in their hope alive, but you're not crushing it? Because I've had some people crush mine when I was in the initial process because it was mean. But how do you navigate that? Because I know people ask a lot, how did you do it? Or how are you working through it? Give me the recipe and, you know, I'm going to follow it. How do you prepare them for, you know, you can follow the recipe, but you ain't going to get the same results because we're different people.
The recipe is as old as my granny was before she passed away, and there's pieces missing. There's a scorch piece. Like, I don't know everything that's involved in the recipe either. We are all just trying to figure it out. I can tell you what I did, but the most important thing is listening to yourself, listening to your body. Your body is an incredible way to tell you what is and is not right for you. And listening to that inner voice inside your head, the one that's not screaming and panicky and frantic, but the calm voice inside you. That's the one guiding you. And something I've learned this year, because I've been trying to fight to make my businesses successful and profitable, is everything that is meant for me is downstream. And I have been trying to fight this tide and swim upstream this entire time to make it work. But everything that is meant for you is going to come easily because it's downstream. If you just let go of the control, accept it into your life, let go of the control. And one of the things I tell myself whenever I need that minute to just breathe and be. Because if you do that and you listen to yourself, mm-hmm. the answer usually comes. And think about what you're passionate about. So life isn't so hectic and stressful if you are working within your passion instead of someone else's. It's so much easier And you get a lot more out of it too. Don't forget to refill that well. I had to start thinking of myself as a battery. We've all heard the metaphor of when the masks fall on the airplane, put it on you before you put it on your kid. And I was always right. like, no, mama bear's going to put it on my kid first. I don't care. But I had to learn that if I want to give my daughter 100% effort, whatever percent effort I want to give to her, whatever percent effort I want to give to my businesses, my friendships, my intimate relationships, my family, I can't give that percentage of effort if I'm running on fumes.
Yeah.
It's not possible. And I tried. So let me tell you, I tried it for you. But it's not possible to do it when you're running on fumes. You're just going to crash. And you're not going to be what you want to be for everyone else in your life and every other aspect of your life that you want to be if you don't refill that well.
That's powerful. That is very powerful, because we do, I think we forget that we can't run on complete empty, you know, and we've all tried and we want to help everyone. So, you know, thank you for just letting people know that, hey, yeah, I've done it all. I've done whatever, but you still have to take care of you. And you still have to know that even though we're forward facing in this journey, we still have our own challenges and we're still working to, you know, figure it out, you know, the best that we all can, and maneuver and grow as well. So no, thank you for like letting them know that. And so what I am most proud of is this book that's coming out, you know, so tell us a little bit more about the book, what we can expect for the book, you know.
Well, I named the book, This Generational Curse Ends With Me. And actually on the cover of the book is a butterfly, because our healing process is like the life cycle of a butterfly, and it's never ending. We continue the cycle and phase throughout our life over and over. This is my story. I write fiction, and I had some of my fiction friends help me with the blurb on the back, because none of us have written nonfiction before. And what I realized was a lot of people was thinking that this was going to be a story of how to forget about your past, but it's not. That comes later. This is my story of how I'm forgiving myself for my past and letting go of it and starting to heal from it, because you can't let go of any of it until you heal from it first. And so this is my story. Look at the trigger warnings, because there is some craziness in it. And I don't want to trigger anybody's trauma, but this is the ugly truth. This is what I've been through, even some things that I didn't really want to admit, because I was ashamed of them for many, many years. But I had to forgive myself for allowing certain things or for doing certain things, as most of us do. And when certain traumas happen to us, especially as women, we tend to blame ourselves.
Yeah.
Even when it had nothing to do with any of us deciding anything.
Right.
And we have to forgive ourselves for placing that blame on ourselves. This book, I wrote it so that I could start healing. But I am publishing it so that everyone else can start healing too.
Wonderful. Wonderful. You know, I'm excited for it to come out, because I'm gonna get my hands on it. So that's going to be the most awesome thing. In a moment, I'll let you, you know, talk about some other things, how they can get to it or whatever. But I just have one more question for you before we, you know, wrap things. What do you see yourself, what do you see for you and your daughter? And I'm say just in the next 2 years. I tend to do my goals in like, you know, 12, 24 months because, you know, things are compact. But as, you know, I'm saying I am, you know, speaking life and, you know, prosperity for the book, like as that grows and as you're in front of more people and you're beginning to really discuss your healing process and your businesses, what does life look like? We're not even talking just what does life overall in the next 2 years, what are the things you would like to accomplish and for your daughter to see you accomplish?
The biggest thing is I want to start speaking on stage, because when I go out and I speak on stage, that's going to give me the opportunity to reach more people and share my story, teach my techniques that I've created simply because I needed them. And we've all heard different things throughout the years about, oh, do this, and this is how you succeed in that, and this is how you get over that. But these are the techniques that really worked for me. So I want to start telling my story and teaching techniques to as many people as I can and reaching as many people as I can, because I feel like that's what I'm really being called to do. I need to get on stage and tell my story and reach that one person in the audience that needs to hear it the most.
That is awesome. That is awesome. That is the best goal. And so I'm going to say, as you know, as the show and as myself as a business owner, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to assisting with that goal and helping in any way that I can. Because again, I believe that in telling our stories, not only are we healing us, but we're healing others. We're healing, you know, the generation before. We're healing the generation that was before us.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's amazing how so many, and understanding what they went through and understanding that a lot of the times they just couldn't protect us because they didn't know, because they had to deal with so much just to exist. And so us telling our stories, like they low key told us the deal. It was like, go live your life. Don't do this. Don't do that. So in telling our stories, that helps them as well. So how can, I'm going to give you this time to, how can the audience reach you? What promotions and specials you got coming up? And just to talk a little bit more about the book launch, you know, what's going to happen with that? When is it coming? Pre-sale? The floor is yours. You know, I'm going to give that to you.
All right. So you can reach me and find all of my links and everything else on my website at nlhentrepreneur.com. And if you ever want me to hire me for your events to come speak, all of my speeches are on the website to tell about what I teach about. I also am excited to announce I have opened my first ever package. I'm calling it the Energy Shift, and it's open right now. It's going to go on a New Year's sale starting on the 13th until New Year's Day. Right now, it's for $4.99, and then the sale, it'll drop down to $3.99. But for anyone watching, you can go to the link, and the link's also on the website. You can go to the link, and you can snag the $3.99 deal, because you're watching. And in the package, you're going to get a breakdown of all of the techniques I teach with individual workshops. So it breaks it down in detail so you can go one at a time and go at your own pace. Once you purchase the package, the workshops you have access to for your entire lifetime. And you will also get access to one live webinar where I will be telling you part of my story and why and how I create these techniques and teach you how to use them. And then you will also be able to schedule 4 one-on-one meetings with me so that whatever you are trying to get accomplished in your life, whether it's trying to make your business successful or you just feel stuck or whatever it is, I will help you in those 4 meetings push past that wall and accomplish the thing you want to accomplish. So that's available right now and open. And then on the 13th, this generational curse is coming out. It will be its release day. It's a novella. And it's my memoir, my story, telling the truth of all of it. I say that this book is me taking off the invisible mask that you didn't know I was wearing. It tells my entire story, the nitty-gritty, all of it, and how I decided to crush the statistics instead of letting my past define the path into my future, and how you can do it too. So all of the links are shown here. If you want, you can go to my website. All of the links are there as well. This generational curse is up for pre-order on ebook in all of your favorite digital stores right now. It's going to be up on Amazon and on online stores like Barnes & Noble on the 13th. Paperbacks, you can't really pre-order those, but you can order them on the 13th on our birthday. So this is going to be a huge celebratory birthday this year. And I'm just really excited for all of it. With this package opening up, I'm excited to open up the community and start helping people for the new year and really make a difference in helping you change your life in the way and the direction that you want it to go in the next year. So, yeah.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I'm just so excited for the things that are happening for you and in your life and what is going to, you know, in a couple of days, it is what I call on and popping, you know, so you're going to have an amazing milestone birthday. You have 2 great packages, your book dropping and the packages dropping on your birthday. And I just am so grateful for that. I am so excited for you for that as well. So I thank you for joining me this evening. It has been a pleasure. It has been wonderful. I'm going to look forward to having you again. Because, you know, I never know. I may decide to put some stuff together, you know, the old event planner and me, you know, do this thing. And so I listen to my guests and, you know, the things that they want to do and the things that they need support in. And so I'm looking forward to seeing you on that stage in 2024.
I am too. I'm going to have my first book signings in the new year. I am going to get out there on stage. There's big things happening in the new year. I'm just excited. And thank you for having me on your show. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate everything you're doing to get stories out there, to reach more people and to help people heal. What you do is huge part of the fight and it helps so many people. I just want to thank you for that because we need more and more people like you out here.
Thank you so very much. Again, I'm just somebody who was sharing my story and saw the need for others to share theirs. And so together we're going to, you know, win this fight. Together we're going to pour hope into so many people. And so if we have to band together, we can't.
Yeah.
We tried it by ourselves and it doesn't work. So I'm
grateful. Yeah, it doesn't work when you're so low.
Yeah, I know. But I'm grateful for your strength and your resilience and your transparency to even tell your story. So I thank you for that.
Well, thank you. It's one of those things where all of us get asked over the years who have stories and tell them that, oh, why do you keep telling your story when it's not a pretty story? Well, it may still suck every time I tell it, and it may still hurt sometimes when I tell it because I'm an empath. So I relive those feelings. But if me telling my story can help even just one person, it's worth it. That's what it's all about. It's just helping someone else out there that desperately needs it, who feels like they're alone, because they're not alone.
That is wonderful. And on that, we can wrap that up, because there's nothing to say after that. There's nothing to say after that. Again, thank you so much for joining us this evening. It's been just a wonderful just talking with you. We're going to definitely follow and promote more and do the things to make sure that we can support you in obtaining the goals that you've set for yourself as well.
I appreciate that. And thank you so much for having me.
You're so welcome. So everyone, oh my gosh, if you wasn't moved and touched and enlightened by this, I don't know what to tell you. I've been grateful because I've been given a platform for others to discuss their, you know, dreams and hopes and to share their stories, because we want others to know that it's just not them that are going through it. And so again, let's go over how you can reach our guests. You can go on our website at www.nlhenterpreneur.com. Yes, I'm spelling out for those who will be listening on the replay on the podcast, because they'll have to see it. They won't be able to see it. Okay. So I'm spelling it out. So you can reach her on her website. You can also start the pre-order for the book, This Generational Curse Ends With Me. It's on Amazon.com. You can go to Barnes and Noble. You type that in, you'll be able to find it. Go ahead and pre-order. Go ahead and do that, because this is necessary, because you can give this as a gift. You may know somebody who may need that, and you may not know how to tell them. You may not know how to pour into them. This is a book that can help them identify some things and to help you create that link, because you feel like it's a missing thing. And also get her offers. If you are listening and whatever, and you get this link, you're going to get it for an amazing price. Again, you may not get it for yourself. You may know someone that needs it, or you may get these, you know, get them because you know somebody that needs the help and you don't know how to best help them. You don't know how to best approach it. Get these offers. That's what they're here for, so that you can move forward. Now, you may say, hey, that's too much. I don't know all that stuff. You can find us on the website. You can go to our website, movingpastyou.com. You can click on any of the things. You can click on her speaker profile. You can click on the episode. The episode is called This Generational Curse Ends With Me, and you'll still find all of the links in which we're discussing here. So I want you to go and support and look out for those. You may not be going through it, but you know somebody who is, that can benefit off this more. But like I was saying, this is the birthday celebration month. You know, if not, go ahead and join and find the fundraiser. Click on it. Pour into someone else. You may not click into my product, but pour into someone else. This is a season of giving, a season of celebration, and a season of hoping. So I'll see you next week. Same time, same location. We'll be wrapping up the year after next week. We'll take some time off to the new year before we start right back up on this amazing journey. I want to give you some time with friends and family and to celebrate on the holidays. So I love you guys dearly. I am grateful, grateful, grateful that you take every time to spend the time with us, to listen to people tell their stories, walk in their purpose, and show you how healing is supposed to go. So I'll see you next week, same time, same location. Love you. Be blessed.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Moving Past You radio show. Make sure to visit our website at www.movingpastyou.com, where you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. If you found value in the show, rate us on iTunes or simply tell a friend about the show. And be sure to tune in next Friday for our next episode. And remember to always be kind in your word, your thought, and in your deed. Be blessed.